Thanks for tuning in to the Real Estate Today podcast. We're going to begin a series called The Sales Agreement. Today, we're going to talk about the form.
I'm Marcia Edwards, residential broker with Windermere Real Estate. Let's talk a little bit about the sales agreement. That's the written contract itself. And what we've got going as the realtor's version is actually 11 pages just at the core of it. And then there's auxiliary disclosures that extend the form to about 15 pages. So we've got a lot to say, apparently, about what your transaction looks like. It's great to use this form and to use a realtor that would carry this form because it thinks of the things that you don't. You'll usually say, well, this is a sales price. This is the close date. I've got to get a loan and I'm going to do inspections. But when things don't go well, you have to have the fine print saying how you're going to manage that situation in the case of certain events. The first thing on that form that starts out is who represents whom in the real estate transaction. Now, remember, in the state of Oregon, a realtor can represent the seller exclusively, the buyer exclusively, or be what's called an in-company dual agent, which means that it's either the same person or the same company on both sides of the transaction. A little tricky dynamic there, and that's the advocacy conversation we'll have at another time. But it's important to understand who's on whose side so you understand what you're sharing with which principal in the transaction. As the buyer, if you're talking to the seller's agent, you may as well be talking to the seller. They're working as the seller's advocate to get the best price and terms for that seller. So be clear on who you're talking to and what you're communicating along the way so you don't compromise yourself on your negotiations. Next, it goes to the pricing, which is essential in understanding. It may not show all the costs involved in this transaction, but it will show you the sales price. The sales price will be listed and then broken down on how it will be paid out. First, you'll have earnest money. Now, earnest money is showing that you're earnest and sincere in your intention to purchase. You're asking the seller to take the home off the market, wait for you to get inspections, possibly to get financing or at least liquid funds, and then check the title report and close. So all of that is going to be going on while the seller's off the market, hoping that you will close the sale. So if you don't close the sale, this earnest money is saying you could be in jeopardy or have caused harm to the seller and have to pay out some of that earnest money to them in the form of damages that have occurred because of the events that happened during the transaction. So good faith money is what it is. And that money is no longer yours as a buyer once you've submitted it with the offer. It's not yet the seller's. It's basically in the name of the transaction and usually deposited in escrow until close of escrow. So the other parts of that is going to show that part of that is down payment. So you've got earnest money, down payment, and then the cash at close, which is usually the loan amount. We'll talk more on what's involved in the contract itself next program.
I'm Marcia Edwards. You'll find me at realestatesmart.org.